Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
Today's message is going to be on fellowship. I know Noah talked about fellowship. Man, that message was awesome. That message was awesome on fellowship last week, and the context that he gave into it. And man, I learned a lot from it myself. So it's always a blessing when my coworkers preach. Man, they bring the house down by the power of the Holy Ghost. So yeah, today is gonna be fellowship again. Today's verse is gonna be Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let's get to it. So it says this: "And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." What an awesome, awesome verse. So how many of you guys know that to get the best understanding of a verse is to read into its whole context of it, right? Read the whole book context and getting to learn more about it. So I'm going to share the context of Hebrews so that we could better break it down and better understand. If you guys want to take out notes, if you guys want to take out or take out your notebooks and pens and whatever you use to write notes, this is the time to do it. And your Bibles, if you want to follow along. So the book of Hebrews, nobody really knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. There's only speculation, right? A lot of people believe it was Paul, but a lot of people believe it wasn't Paul, actually. And but it is believed that the audience of the letter of Hebrews was to Jewish believers in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ, right? That actually believed in Jesus. They were the first believers. And in this time, around this time, there was a lot of heavy persecution by Rome. The persecution was because, I'm not going to get too much into that. I guess it's not really important why the persecution was, but they were being persecuted for their faith, and they were being blamed essentially for something they did not commit, because Rome had an evil king that was doing things to its own citizens. And he was blaming the Christians for doing it because they were a smaller group and they're kind of like an outcast group. So it was ideal for him to do that, right? So there was a lot of people being killed for their faith, right? So in that, you could only imagine, right? If we had to go through that, the fear that we would feel, right? Some people do actually go through that still today. And God bless our brothers who are in regions who are being persecuted for their faith. That must be terrible, but the Holy Spirit comes in and kicks in. And that is basically what Hebrews and the writer of Hebrews was trying to talk about. He is emphasizing the greatness of Jesus, because there was many people that they were thinking about going back to the old ways of doing things. They were like, well, if I'm getting killed because of Jesus, then let me go back to sacrificing lambs, sacrificing goats in order to get rid of my sin. And because the Jewish believers, the traditional Jewish believers, weren't being persecuted. So let me go back to that. I still should be able to get saved, right? Because if the old system, worked back then, it should still work now. But no, the writer of Hebrews was telling him, no, it doesn't work anymore. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. There is no other sacrifice for anybody else besides Jesus. Like, there, we can't go back to slaying a goat and slaying whatever else he would slay, right? There's just no going back to that. So you can only imagine the pressure of these people being persecuted for their faith, but then wanting to go back. But then if they went back, then that is it. Just no going back, I guess. So that is the context of Hebrews. All right. So today I want to talk about protection and fellowship. Three main points: protection and fellowship. Point number two, fellowship provokes goodness. And point number three, fellowship is something we steward. All right. So protection and fellowship. I want to first emphasize Hebrews 10, because that is our main point, right? That is our main verse here. This is only part of verse 24 on Hebrews 10, chapter 10. And it says, and let us consider, oh, let me go back. I'm going to break Hebrews chapter 10, 25 and 20, verses 24 and 25 into three sections. And they're all in these 3 points, essentially, basically. So Hebrews 10, 24, part of it says, and let us consider one another. And some translations, which I actually prefer, say, let us watch after one another. I love that one for the point that I'm about to make. The reason why I love the translation, let us watch for each other, it brings me back to when I was a kid, I would watch Animal Planet with my dad. And I remember always seeing how the lions, when there's a predator coming to, to feast on prey, there was these meerkats. There was these family of meerkats, or if it was a bird or whatever it was, right? And these meerkats would keep an eye out for essentially the group of meerkats, the family. If you don't know what a meerkat is, it's essentially like a little rodent that digs holes on the ground. But as the whole family of meerkats are together, just enjoying time, eating, you know, doing whatever the meerkats do, there's always a few of them keeping watch for the whole people. Now, in our context, we are supposed to be keeping watch for all of us. It's not just a few eyes here and there. You know, a lot of us like to depend on the pastor, and we think that the pastor and the main leaders are the ones that should keep the eye contact and the watch for everybody. But in reality, we are all called to watch for each other. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. I really love that. Again, it paints the picture, and it brings me back to the times I used to watch Animal Planet with my dad. And I used to be so intrigued by how these animals would stalk their prey, and they would calculate the move that they would make, whether it was bison or whether it was smaller animals like the meerkats or whatever it may be. They were very calculated. And how many of us know that our enemy is the same way? He's not dumb. The devil's not dumb, y'all. And he is very calculated with his moves. And that is why it's very important for us to be in fellowship, to remain in fellowship, because in fellowship, we have protection. If we are by ourselves, we will get devoured by this lion. I've seen many times where there was like a bison or something of some sort, or water buffalo, that would stay isolated, wouldn't stay close to the pack. And that's usually the animal that gets attacked by these lions that come after the one who is singled out because of their choice. Now, how is that beneficial to me? Well, maybe you might hear some brothers and sisters. I've talked to quite a few people who talk about they say that things like, well, I don't go to church anymore, but I'm still a believer, and I just seek God in my own time here in my house. And you know, right off the bat, I'm already thinking like, that's not a good idea, right? Because again, of the picture I just painted in your guys' head about the water buffalo and the meerkats, and this Bible verse, you know, that the devil is like a roaring lion looking for anyone. Notice it says anyone that he can devour. Guys, we got to stay together. We got to remain in our churches. We got to be in fellowship. This right here is a type of fellowship. Now, I'm not saying that this should replace your church. If you don't have a church, maybe you should find one. I know you actually should find one, because again, protection comes from fellowship. So we help each other view different angles. If I'm into wronging something, there is correction in numbers. There is correction in multiple eyes looking at my situation and telling me, hey, don't head over there. You're going the wrong way. Protection is in fellowship. Fellowship offers protection. Point number two is fellowship provokes goodness. I'm going to again start with Hebrews chapter 10, 24. The rest of it says, in order to provoke love and good works. So we got to stay together to keep eyes out on each other in order to provoke good works. Listen, if you're by yourself at home and you are falling into sin, and you're not attending church, if you're not in a group with brothers and sisters, like, who could bring the correction in a loving way, right, and help you get back up. It doesn't even have to be sin. It could even be something that you're going through, right? It could be a tough time. It could be it could be depression, whatever it may be. Like, if you're by yourself and nobody knows what you're going through, how can help be extended to you? So, First Theologian says 5:14, chapter 5, verse 14. I'm sorry, guys. I know I speak a little bit quick and I have to remind myself to slow down. So I'll get better at that. I'm trying to get better at that. It's 14 says, "And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, and help the weak, be patient with everyone." So, if you're in a place isolated, you can't even be uplifted or encouraged if nobody knows what you're going through. But the beauty of being in fellowship, the beauty of being in community with one another and believers, is that if we are going through that, we get to have people come to us and help us out of that rut that we are in, right? So fellowship provokes good works. So that's my main point, right? How do we get to that part? Well, if you're in fellowship, if we get out of that rut, if we leave our place of isolation and come together in a group, in one spirit, in one accord, in seeking Jesus, then fellowship will provoke good works in us. A good example of this, this past weekend, I just went to go serve at this organization. Is called Feed My Starving Children. And it's a Christian organization, but you don't have to be Christian to go serve. My wife is doing some school hours. She had to go serve. I wish I could tell you we went just out of our free nature. We love to serve, but that wasn't the case this time. It was, she needed to get some school service hours in, and I went with her because it was late and because I feel like I'm a really good husband. Working on that. But it was amazing to me to see how as we were starting the serving process, there was people of all kind. Again, it wasn't just Christians in there. It was a lot of people of every kind. And as the night went on and as people started serving and just getting the hang of things, you can see how people smile, how people's demeanor changed, how there was a common goal to pack the food for these people that needed it, right? To feed the starving children, and how that unified all of us in the room in a spirit of gratitude and a spirit of servitude. And it was so powerful to see that even non-Christians were in there. And it's like we were under one mission, and we were on a mission to just serve people. And just to see what that did to people's hearts and minds was beautiful to see. So that's how it is when we are in our church, when we see people serving, when we see people doing, going out of the way to set up chairs or whatever your church looks like and whatever it needs to be done to just do that. There's something, when we see somebody doing that, it provokes us to do good works as well. And when we all start just getting in that same spirit, it's good for all of us, y'all. It's good and it's healthy for the whole body of Christ. So, third point is fellowship is something we steward. I didn't think about it like this before, but reading, it says here, Hebrews 10:25, the whole thing says, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and it all the more as you see the day approaching. What an awesome thing. I love the word not neglecting, because what is, to me at least, the opposite of neglect is stewardship. You can find other opposites, but that's the one I really love to think of. So stewardship, I never thought about stewarding our fellowship with one another. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. We as a church of God, we are called to serve everybody, whether you're in the body of Christ or not. But if we're called to serve everybody, how much more our fellow brothers and sisters, right? Within the body of Christ. And how can we do that if we are outside of fellowship? We cannot serve one another outside of fellowship. And if we can't serve one another outside of fellowship, there is no refreshment to our spirit. So that is something we need to steward. And how do we steward fellowship? Well, like he says, we all have a gift. We all have something to bring to the table. My challenge to you guys, my challenge to y'all is if you guys are in a church and maybe you've been going for a while now, start serving. And you haven't served, start serving because you have something to offer. And it's not just about us receiving, but we also receive when our mentality is also in serving others. I feel like that's when I receive the most, honestly, when I'm just in my motion serving God and serving people. That is where I'm in my best as a person, as a human being. That's where I feel more in tune with God personally. So we have to steward this. Okay, so now the practical side of stewardship. How do we steward our relationship? I already told you guys, or our fellowship in Christ. Like I said, number one was you gotta show up. Like show up. You gotta be consistent with showing up. And guys, I'm preaching to myself on this because I was in a transition period of churches and I wasn't being consistent until very recent. And that's just, I'm just letting you guys know, like, if you guys are in that place where you guys feel like you haven't been, don't feel guilty. Just pick it back up, get it together and start moving forward. And I'm speaking out of experience here. What's another practical step we can do? Just being consistent, right? And then just serving one another. I already hit on that. Wherever you see the need, just serve. If there's a gap to fill, fill it. Whatever. Even if you have to ask your pastors, your leaders, and be like, "Hey, I want to serve. What is it?" There's always something to do in the ministry. There's always something to do, and it doesn't have to always just be within. It doesn't always have to be within the context of a church building. It could be just whatever God is placing in your heart. That might be outside, some sort of outreach or whatever it may be. So, but the point is, we should always stay together because it provokes goodness in us. It also is, and it's something we have to take care of. If we don't take care of fellowship, if we don't take care of gathering together and just, bringing out the best out of each other, then we will fall into the temptation to go back. Like I told you guys earlier, the temptation of the Jewish people was to go back to an old way. If we're alone, I know in my times of isolation, I've been tempted to go back to my old ways. That's just the reality of it. I cannot do this walk on my own, and God knows that. And that's why he has called us to fellowship. This is the reason why we do it, right? So think about it this way. We're the body of Christ, right? He is our head. We're the body. Let's say I'm hungry. I need to feed my body for nourishment. I use my hand to grab something, some sort of food, put it in my mouth. My mouth chews it. That's a different body part. Swallows it. Goes through my throat, my intestines. I'm not trying to be gross or anything, but yeah, that's just the process of how it works, right? But that piece of food is going through like a bunch of pieces, the different parts of the body. But as a whole person, I am working together for my good, for the good of myself, to feed myself. And every function, every part of the body has a function too. But when they all serve each other, we are being uplifted. We are being unified. We are being enriched by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, right? So that's what it is. So those are my 3 points, but we got to ask. Maybe there's some of you here that, again, you guys are not Christian, or maybe some of you that have gone away from joining church and from being consistent in your fellowship at church. We got to ask ourselves, okay, all this is great, right, Matt? This is great. Cool. Good points. But why do we fellowship? What's the reason to our fellowship? Like, I guess if you don't see an importance to fellowship, then I don't see why you would even want to go fellowship. But it's very important, guys. We fellowship mainly, the number one reason, because of Jesus. Everything about Jesus is the reason why we fellowship. We fellowship because he has called us to. We fellowship because we are his body. We are fellowship because in serving one another, in serving people and within the body of Christ, and also outside the body of Christ, we are serving God. We are serving Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is King Jesus. King Jesus has commanded us to do this. So we got to do it. This is not even a, honestly, this is not even an option for us to remain in fellowship. So now you might be asking, you're here, you might not be a Christian, and you're saying, well, you know, I don't have a church, and I don't even know what to do with Jesus. Like, I want to know more about Jesus. Well, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Honestly, what a perfect verse for this, for just the overarching theme of fellowship. All of us like sheep have gone astray. There was a moment when we were in perfect fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden. But because of sin, because of the infection, the disease of sin within our hearts, within our souls, we have turned away, and it says that turn to his own way. We have turned to our own ways, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. What a powerful statement. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that's Romans 6:23. If you're like me, you understand better with pictures, with videos. That's just how I am. My wife, she understands better through reading, through words. That's her deal. I'm better with pictures. So this illustration, I'm hoping that it will help you out. The wages of sin is death has caused a divide between God and us, humanity. Because of Adam and Eve falling and sinning against God, there was a division caused. So because of that division, we can't access fellowship with God, which is very important, right? He's life. If we continue with the illustration, we got the gift of God is eternal life. That's what we already had. But God has given us throughout the Bible, we see humanity trying to reach the other side. And just time after time after time, we have been unsuccessful. But Jesus came and Jesus gave his life. So if you're here asking who is Jesus, this is Jesus. The word of God says that he is God. He is the word in the flesh, that he is God in the flesh. God is fully human and fully God, fully human, fully God. It might cause a headache because it's how can somebody be fully human, fully God? He's God. So that's how, you know, I can't say that, but for myself, but he's God. So anyways, God himself came down here on earth to die on the cross for something that we did, to bridge the gap between the gift of God, which is eternal life and eternal fellowship with him, in order for us to be with him. He loved us that much that he gave his only life because we couldn't do it within our own works because we kept failing. So he did it for us. He came through, he died on the cross, and because of his perfect sacrifice and his precious blood on the cross, we are able to gain access to fellowship with God for eternity. And that is what a relationship with God looks like. Now, I want to invite you because you might be here saying, Matt, how do I do this? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, for if we confess that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, we are saved. You get the gift of salvation. So This is the confession part. So first you got to believe, and you're already here, and maybe it's your first time and you're like, I do believe that. That makes perfect sense to me. Or maybe it doesn't fully make sense to me because I don't know the full gospel, but I do believe that. I do believe that Jesus was a real person here on earth, and that he actually died in the physical realm, right? And died for us. And because of that, now I have access to his love. And I want to know more who this Jesus is. Perfect. Now, all we got to do is confess him. So this is the confession part, and we'll all do it together, or we'll do it together, the people that haven't done it yet. I'll lead the prayer with you guys, and yeah, that will be your moment with in fellowship with God. Not just a moment, and just the beginning of something very special, of a new life, of eternal life. So say it with me. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need you to forgive me. I know that your son Jesus died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I will trust and follow you. Everything I have is yours now. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.